There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I can't take it anymore, BT. I know the postseason is special and every win is euphoric and great, but these losses, that game last night, made me crazy. How could the Mets do this to us again? They had a chance to put the Brewers away and they could not do it, and now we have game three tonight.
It's sweating time, man. Listen, there's nothing that I could say that's going to make the next few hours or however many hours go fast, but your manager had a rough night, Sal. Your manager had a rough night in a season in which he's really distinguished himself from the get-go. You know, the way he's dealt with adversity and the way they've maximized this roster. Mendoza was off last night. You know, listen, you've been through it. You watched the game. Did you think you should have pulled Manaea? Probably not. Do you want to see Diaz in the eighth inning? Yes. I even said this. This was a first guess. Not that it killed him, although we could have pinch run for him. I would have started Winker myself over Martinez, but, you know, here you are. And now you give the baseball to somebody that I'm not sure how much you trust fully, Quintana, not as much as Manaea, and the season's hanging by a thread. But I'm still confident in the Mets tonight. Yeah. I actually have a decent amount of confidence in the Mets tonight.
Right now, I don't know what to think other than I'm ticked off still about last night. And yesterday, the hero, 2 days ago, the hero was Carlos Mendoza, and we talked about how smart they are in the game plan.
Yep.
It wasn't his fault, and we had a lot to get to, and we'll break it down. There's different layers or levels of blame to go around for last night's performance. But we said yesterday, going into the game, I was like, all right, what do you think the Mets are going to get or need from Manaea? And you said like 5 2/3, something like that.
That's exactly what
I
said.
And I was like, whoa, no. They need 7 innings. The fact that they took him out after 5 innings, this is what drives me nuts. And I thought Mendoza was a better balance than this. This, to me, last night was a data applicator type game where you get your starter out after five, your ace starter out after five. Like, he's on normal rest. He was looking pretty good. Let him go another inning. The reason why you let him go another inning is because the odds are the more arms you have to use, the more likely you're going to get beat at some point with one of those arms. So once Manaea was out after fifth, I knew that they were in trouble and knew the offense needed to get going because there's no way that one-run lead was going to hold up. And Manaea and Mendoza basically just stuck to the plan. All right, let's go with Reed Garrett here. Check. Let's go with Stanek here. Check. Let's go with Maton here. And obviously he didn't get the job done. Well, what'd you think was going to happen? At some point, whether it was Reed Garrett, whether it was Stanek or Maton or eventually Diaz, they were going to blow the game. You have to lessen your opportunities out of the bullpen. Stick with your best pitcher. Manaea's been their best pitcher. How do you justify taking him out in a postseason game where I thought the Mets had to win that game, take him out to 5 innings?
And especially what happened the previous night with Severino, where he let Severino stretch it out and he was rewarded with 6 extra outs. It's the exact opposite.
Right. 86 pitches, he's pulling them.
Yeah, I mean, Manaea, he said post-game that he was feeling good. The radar guns, he was throwing hard. I texted you guys last night. Yeah. He was, I mean, every time I looked up, 95.
Just looks nasty all of a sudden.
It's Manaea for
throws
most.
Throws a heavy ball now.
Yeah,
from that,
yeah, I mean, the problem now is you know, God, I mean, I don't love Quintana. I don't. I'm not saying that he's not up to the challenge. I'm not saying that. But you led a team that is feisty, that is fast, that is seemingly feeds on energy like the Milwaukee Brewers do, catching the baseball. If you notice, as that game progressed, they started to catch the baseball more and more. Really, the first 5 innings, the Mets looked like the Brewers, going from first to third.
Yeah, they were out-brewing the Brewers,
they
right?
They were. You know, Pete, who suddenly is, you know, Keith Hernandez over at first base, he can't hit. I know we'll get to him.
Yeah.
He's picking balls left and right. And the Mets, I thought they had a look about them last night where, man, oh, man, you start. I know where your head was going. You start, not that you took it for granted, but you're feeling good. The way that game's unfolding, the way Manaea looked, the way the Mets have looked so far, you know, in this series in the last couple of weeks, the 3 out of 4 against Philly, everything they did to get to this point, winning against the Braves, all that stuff, you get the sense like, all right, guys, now you got your ace on the hill, and he might not have his A-plus game, but he's got his B-plus game, and that's going to be good enough. and then he get dinged for a home run, then he get dinged for another, then he get dinged for another. There was definitely some mismanagement. There's no doubt about this, but now it's big boy time.
Yeah.
There's nothing to cry about. I know you're not crying. I know you're not, but you just got to go win a game. Win the game. That's it.
The problem is they had a great opportunity to do so last night and bury this team, and now you give the Brewers back all the momentum. I wanted to throw my phone through the window last night when Maton gave up that home run. That's how angry I was. And you know why? Because I knew it was coming. You could just feel. Any of us watching that game knew that the 3-2 lead wasn't going to be enough. And they kept just trotting along like, okay, well, we use this guy, and then Maton. I'll be honest with you. I don't even have a problem with going to Maton there. I thought about Diaz in the eighth inning, but I thought Mendoza had a good answer afterwards saying, look, either way, it's either 1-2-3 or 4-5-6. Like, so we're going to save Diaz for the ninth inning?
I don't think that's a good answer because 1-2-3 for Milwaukee is very different than 4-5-6 for Milwaukee.
I didn't have a problem with Maton there. Now, you want to talk about his usage? I had a problem with the way that they pulled Manaea from the game early, and they're asking a lot of a bullpen that isn't good. I don't know how the Mets have gotten to this point with that bullpen. When Phil Maton is your second best guy, you got Buto, who I love, and probably my most trusted arm in the bullpen outside of Edwin Diaz, but he's limited because he's a starter and he doesn't recover as well the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So you use him for two innings. Then
what
you
about Peterson?
Yeah.
I mean,
Peterson's going to be starting game one. Like, they have all this plan.
You could have used him.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone to him in that spot either. I'm fine with Maton. I'm just saying that he was too quick. Mendy was too quick to get to that bullpen early, which then the trickle-down effect left them with Phil Maton and really no answer.
I know.
I don't have a problem with him starting the inning, but you certainly can make a case for Mendoza supposed to know he doesn't have it.
He didn't.
Let me get him out. The game is tied. The game was still tied. It was annoying enough.
Yep.
You didn't have to let them get the two-run lead there.
You could tell his cutter was flat. His curveball wasn't moving. You know what happened? Last night, I've got a comparison for you, an analogy. Last night, the Mets were, the way Mendoza handled the game, and I love Mendoza. Bullish long-term, big picture, but he had a rough night.
Right.
He had a rough night, and listen, when you get to this point, and it's October, just like Torrey and Girardi and everybody else, Billy Martin, Davey Johnson, when you make a mistake in October, it's amplified. Doesn't mean we don't think Mendoza's really good. He's been great, but he was bad last night for me. What happened with him, and we've all been here, you're in the casino, you hit on the wrong card, and you mess up the entire shoot. He hit on the wrong, until they have to reshuffle the deck, and then he probably screwed for the rest of the night. He hit on the wrong card by taking out Manaea, and the rest of the shoot, the rest of the deck, was ruined for the night.
Bingo. And it's that, to me, is the problem, and why I call him a data applicator. Like, I've seen Boone, I've seen others do this, where they think it's going to play out a certain way. They just stick to that. And then when one thing goes off, the whole thing is blown up. You have to plan as if something is going to go wrong. And they didn't do that. Same thing with even the defensive replacements. I talked yesterday about how they have every avenue covered. Well, in a one-run game, do you think it's a good idea to take Mark Vientos out of that game? No, it's not a good idea. The reason why he did it was because he's thinking, okay, well, we got the one-run lead. Time to get the defense in there and shore it up.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's if everything goes according to plan, that would work. But it's not always going to go according to plan. So stick with your gut. I didn't think Mendoza used the gut. I thought he was too formulaic last night, and I think that came back to bite him. I didn't have a major problem with Winker not starting, although I did think it was a little
odd. I didn't like that.
Yeah, the energy and emotion that Winker showed the day
triple,
before.
I mean, his old team, he rifles one down the line. He's a much better athlete than Martinez. I thought Winker should have started.
Yeah, and he didn't, obviously, so Martinez is in there. That was an issue. I didn't have a major issue with some of those things. My issue was that Mendoza manage the game according to the blueprint as if nothing was going to change. And the gut feel, I guarantee you, every Met fan alive watching that game last night knew that the 3-2 lead was not going to hold up. You knew it. But yet Mendoza managed as if that was going to be the case. I'll go with Garrett here. I'll go with Stanek here. I'm going to go with Maton here. I'm going to put my defensive guys in, get to Diaz. Like, it was more hope and the pre-planning than actually watching the game and getting a feel for it.
I understand. I know Met fans obviously want to jump in here. We'll just start banging these calls here. But, and there's no guarantee. Listen, Diaz, who threw, what, 26 on Sunday, 40 on Monday. We can sit here and say that going to, and I believe this, going to Diaz, because at least if you go down with Diaz in the eighth against the top of the order and they score, you can at least live with that. It's more justifiable in your own minds because he's your best pitcher out of the bullpen. That's basic stuff. But there's no guarantee he doesn't hang a couple of sliders flat because he hasn't looked great lately either.
Here's the problem.
But you got to make the move.
Here's the one problem with that, and we'll get to the calls here in a second. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. If he goes to Diaz in the eighth,
yep,
he cannot use him in the ninth.
No, there's no chance he could use him in the ninth.
Not yesterday.
No, not yesterday. No, I agree.
So, which means that let's just say that it was flipped and he goes with Maton and he blows it. What do you think people are going to be saying?
True, but I think it's, again, more justifiable when you're dealing with 4, 5, and 6. If you address strength on strength, you really take away the second guesses.
Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is in Burlington, New Jersey. What's up, Joe? Hey, Joe.
Joe, what's happening, buddy?
Mickey is in Wolcott, Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
What's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call on the WFAN, therapy line.
Really?
Wow, last night was something, man. Listen, my anger goes for three phases. Phase number one, horrible, horrible umping last night on the plate. I mean, so many balls that were strikes. I mean, oh, my God. Second of all, get Mendoza's decision. I get it. I understand it. But I'm still so against it. And the minute he was throwing 75 meatballs down that
Which strike, decision are you like, talking yeah. about? Well, Mickey, explain. When which decision?
When he took out the pitcher in the seventh going into the eighth. He should have kept him in.
I'm hearing a lot of that, Mickey, and thank you for the call. I'm hearing a lot of that, BT. Stanek, more Stanek. Like, come on now.
So you want to get more outs out of him and
that's not what
he's done in the eighth.
You're lucky you got a clean inning out of Stanek.
I know. Well, he's been pretty good. I mean, that's lowest on my list of issues right there. That I don't even know if that really makes the list of issues there.
Yeah, like I'm not going to blame him for getting Stanek out after one inning. That's
no,
what you do.
No.
The issue is using multiple pitchers
Correct.
To get through a game. You're not going to get through clean with four different arms. It just doesn't work like that.
Listen, the bottom line is this. You had a one-run lead, okay? You had the ace on the mound. You elected to take him out, and when he had south of 90 pitches, that's mistake number one. Mistake number... And again, you could quibble with this, and there's no guarantee that it would have worked out favorably, but mistake number two is 1, 2, 3, Diaz locked and loaded. You didn't go to him. Those are two big mistakes.
Yeah, that's the problem. And by the way, if this were Peterson, Quintana, even Seve, all right, you get him out after five, maybe doesn't look as dominant, get into the bullpen. But even with that, I'd still be like, you needed, we talked about this before the game, they needed Minaya to go longer than five innings. You have to. Minimum, they needed six out of him. He's their best pitcher. And you're pulling him out after 86? That was, to me, all on Mendoza. That didn't make any sense. Jesse's in Westfield, New Jersey. What's up, Jesse?
How's it going? I got a few quips about the game last night. Different from the pitching, but I think you have to pinch run for J.D. Martinez there. I think it was the fifth of the sixth inning. The next batter was a single. He goes first to third. And then also, Marte's on first the next inning, nobody out. I think you bunt him over to second. I think the playoffs are a little different. You got to play some small ball. You got to get runners in scoring position because all you need right there is a run.
We were talking about the pinch run with Martinez before the show. Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I mean, you got to see, he can't move at all.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's part of the issue with J.D. Martinez. You're basically hoping he's hitting one in the gap.
Yeah.
Or you want him to come up with guys on and he's going to produce. Or you hope he's going to produce. Or hit one over the fence. He hasn't done that.
I wouldn't play him tonight.
I honestly think J.D. Martinez is unplayable.
I wouldn't play him tonight.
In the spot in game one.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're going
with a lefty reliever.
Yeah, sure.
That's where you use him.
Yeah.
You're going to go with your lefty reliever here, stick with him against Winker. I'm going to counter with J.D. Martinez in a spot with guys on.
Yeah.
That's the spot to do it. You're firing basically a pinch hitter, which J.D. Martinez is. He should not be getting four at-bats tonight. He should not be in there to start these games, unless it's against a lefty. And even then, clogging up the bases, if he does get on it, he doesn't look very good. And he hasn't for a while, J.D. Martinez.
You nervous? I know you're nervous.
I'm still in the anger phase. The call was said before about...
Still angry.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen some people, Joe DiMeo, my buddy at SNY, is like, all right, last night, today's a new day. No. I'm still not there yet. No.
I'm still angry. Good.
I still am angry about last night. It's a missed opportunity. Everybody else moves on. Everybody else with the one game to none lead was able to sweep, except the Mets. Why is that the case? So I'm still angry. I'm not ready. I'm now nervous, whatever. Like, I can't feel those feelings because of my anger.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Now, eventually, maybe another hour or so, I'm getting it out of my system now.
All right.
I mean, I'll start to get there and get excited about this, but I didn't want to deal with this.
You should be angry because you guys should be chilling right now, getting ready for the Phillies. You guys should have won the game. You guys should. Listen, if you come in here and you lose 7-1, you know, it's okay. Take it on the chin, come back, and let's hopefully get the rubber matchup. You guys should have won last night.
Blowing a lead late like that, like it happens. By the way, it hasn't happened playing the Brewers since 1982.
I saw that
stat. Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
And you know, as soon as it flashed in the graphic, I'm like, God, will you stop? Yeah, like, you know, the jinx thing. Yeah, I know it's not real, but like, they're just, it was, the situation was begging for it. And then they show, the Brewers have never come back in the postseason.
From the seventh inning on deficit since 1982.
Yeah.
82.
Yeah. Cue up Phil Maton and his crappy breaking ball.
And cue up Michael Jackson Thriller. It's the last time it happened. 82.
It's a long time ago.
Oh, my God.
Frank is in White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Frankie.
What's up, Frank?
Hello, Frank. Huh? Okay, Frank's not
ready.
All right,
Frank. Let's see what we got here. Victor is in Manhattan. What's up, Victor?
Guys, I'm still pissed off about last night. Mendoza, listen, you have to have Manaea go six. You have to have him go six. 86 pitches isn't enough. And then let's say when you bring in Maton, right? He gives up the home run, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see he has nothing. Even on the double play, the guy hit the ball hard. You have to get rid of him after three batters. You have to.
Yeah.
Because we can still win the game. No, we had Milwaukee dead last night. And then once, let's say you leave him in after three hitters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Adames gets the base hit. You have to take him out of that game. You have to. You can't let this team wake up. Now the Brewers are awake and they have momentum. We had them last night. It should have been over last night.
You're right, Victor. It should have been over last night. And that's why it's so frustrating. You're right, BT. Like, a loss, Milwaukee gets on top of Manaea. They get out to a 5-0 lead, 4-0 lead, whatever. They win the game 5-2, 5-3. You deal with it. It sucks, but it's a loss. All right, go get them. When they had an opportunity last night and you blow it, that's what's infuriating. Now, the reason why he went to Reed Garrett in the sixth was because of the matchups. He didn't want the lefty Manaea facing, again, Adames, Sanchez, Hoskins.
Uh-huh.
But to me, that's still an issue because now you're using, and I don't like Reed Garrett at all.
Nah, you always wail on him.
Yeah, but at least you have another arm. Like, let's say he has Reed Garrett available. Maton blows the game.
Yep.
Gives up the tie, gives up a base hit. Now you can go to Reed Garrett. Like, do you love that idea? No, but at least, you know, Maton doesn't have it. Let me see if Reed Garrett can get us through this without giving up the lead.
Yep.
And he didn't. He was stuck with Maton because everybody said, get Maton out of there. Who are you going to in that spot?
It's very hard, even though we make it easy. It's hard to... It's hard for us, you know, mere mortals, to look at a TV screen and say, man, this guy really doesn't have it. Maton didn't have it last night.
But Mendoza managed himself into a spot where
I know
he couldn't do anything.
Well, he still could have pulled him before he gave up the home run.
Right, but
second home run.
I'm saying for who? Right? That's why I'm saying if you had Reed
Peterson.
Garrett, but then again, Peterson, now you're really screwed. First of all, you don't know how Peterson's going to be in that spot.
He's going to be better than Maton throwing your 90-mile-per-hour
pus. But you're also now screwing up next game, the beyond that. So I
can't worry about the next series. I got to get the next out.
But it wasn't technically an elimination game. Like, it'd be different tonight if you pulled that. Like, all hands on deck tonight. You worry about the next series. If you get there, you got to do whatever you got to do to get a win. But that's why the trickle-down effect... I knew that they were in big trouble when Manaea was out of the game. When they showed him going to the dugout, handshaking, I'm like, whoa.
I said the same thing. I'm like, why is he getting high fives here?
Yeah, this is the fifth inning. What's going on here? All right, so Mendoza, he feels the wrath. Up next, Pete is going to get it. BT and Sal on the Fan. I've had enough of Pete Alonso, BT. It's nothing personal. Seems like a great guy. I mean, my God, it is October. There's one game left on the schedule, and this guy hasn't been able to buy a big hit. He came up in a big spot again yesterday. Stop me if you've heard this before. Pete Alonso came up in a big spot with a chance with one swing to change the entire game, and yet he failed. And this time he failed by tripping over his own bat as he's running to first base. Enough! We've heard about it from September. Oh, hey, you know what? There's 3 weeks left in the season. Hey, you know what? There's a series left in a week. Oh, hey, you know what? If he does it against Atlanta. Oh, you know what? If he does it in the postseason. What? He's played great defense. Sure. I can't even watch Pete Alonso anymore. And, of course, he gets a base hit and two outs, nobody on in the seventh inning. I just can't take it, BT. You hope that he's going to get it done. We've been waiting for it all year long. Pete Alonso is killing this team.
Okay, I can't disagree. He's been awful lately. I think he's had one extra base hit since September 17th and a couple of home runs, one of which came off Clemens, position player. Do you drop him further tonight? I mean,
I would drop him out.
Well,
but there's no other option.
You know they're not going to bench him, so why not bat him seventh? If he's this inept, then he's pretty inept right now. Bat him seventh.
Legit last night, the first thing I'm like, is there who could play first base? Like, I guess the answer would be you move Vientos to first base and figure it out. He never does anything. He can't even give you a good at bat. It's infuriating. The thing that makes it more infuriating is every time I get sucked in thinking, all right, this is it. Forget everything that happened to date.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit one in the gap here. Hit one over the fence. Change the game. Change the feel of what has gone on with your season, Pete. Save the team. They need you. Like last night, they needed them. We talked about, can the Mets get to a World Series without Alonso? Well, they made it this far without Alonso contributing. But last night's a perfect spot, BT, where they needed a big hit with guys on. He had a chance to do that, and he didn't do it. And they ended up losing the game because
of it. You didn't even really need a big hit. Just don't bang into a double play. How about a sack fly? First and third, you're up one zip. And then, the visual. And, I'm starting to feel badly for Pete. Not that that changes the pressure or the anger. But, it's inexplicable what he's turning into right now in front of us. I don't know what it is, but this is not the guy that we watched for half a decade mash baseballs into orbit.
He has folded in his biggest season to date, not only for himself playing for a contract, but what the Mets have done as a team. They've been better. I know the record wasn't, but this team has been better than they were in 2022. A legitimate chance to go all the way. And he's come up small and smaller and smaller every step of the way. As the pressure has risen, he's gotten worse. He hasn't gotten just had an extra base hit since mid-September. The games are getting more important. He's getting worse.
He is getting worse. He's shrinking. It's confounding. I mean, Look at the different situations on the Mets right now. So Iglesias, we know his, his path here, bounce around a little bit, good glove, never really stuck. Or, just kind of a bit of a transient baseball existence, right? He's hitting 340. Lindor, I'm going to finish second in the MVP, started hitting 064 in the first month of April, and his back is, he's probably, who knows what he's getting shot up with. You can just see the way he's throwing the baseball all of a sudden across the middle of the diamond. He's physically not right. And here he is, still grinding out a sack fly or a big home run in Atlanta, doing some stuff. Vientos was on the Syracuse shuttle, up, down. They really wanted Beatty to win that. Up, down, up, down, up. Finally up, and he hits. He's the second best hitter on the team. And here's Pete Alonso, who's got 200 million plus reasons to do damage, and he's hitting like a pitcher. Like, he just is awful right now.
Tyrone Taylor has contributed. Francisco Alvarez, although not to the level that we expect, he's had his moment.
And by the way, can you get a helmet that fits?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's a little sidebar. Can you get a helmet that fits?
Yeah.
Every time he swings or runs, the helmet falls off his head. Like the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones. Get something that fits.
I like to see him pop a couple into the seats, man. He's got to get going with the power. But anyway, with Pete, this is all you need to know. Lindor, in a key moment, sees it on the line, running around the bases with a bad back, picks up a bat from the ground, thinking about his team.
Uh-huh.
Pete Alonso, key moment, season on the line, trips over his bat, face planting as he's going to first base. Like, is that not symbolic of the embarrassing season he's had?
Boy, that is some visual that you just
personally
connect there.
Personally, we were talking about this with Recco before the show. Like, you feel bad for Pete?
I do.
But enough. Like, I've just seen enough. I cannot believe how poorly he's played here.
He looks awful. You know what I thought happened to him? Remember when Ryan Howard ruptured his Achilles, the final out of the World Series back in the day? I actually thought his Achilles went, because he went down and he was nowhere near the play. When you're out by 40 feet, which he was.
You didn't see him trip over the bat.
And then they showed you the replay, and of course, he was go skating
I didn't even see him fall. I was like, Where is he? What's going on?
And it was just, it was so ungraceful, like the way his face went, they're just sloppy, like he didn't even catch himself cleanly. I feel badly for him, but if he doesn't wake up, the Mets are not going to win. He's got to hit, man. It's embarrassing.
And I just don't get it, BT, because this has not been an MO for him throughout the course of his career.
I know. Well,
he's hit big home runs before.
I've never looked at him as incredibly clutch. I have not.
But he's hit big home runs. I'm not saying, now when he first came up, there weren't clutch moments in his rookie season.
Yeah, they weren't good.
But even 22, like, he plays every day. He was hitting with a lot of power. Like, you can't be on clutch and drive in over 100 runs.
Yeah, I hear you. Even A-Rod back in the day would have, you know, he was the king of the three-run bomb when the Yankees won 11-4 against.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
The Angels or the White Sox. I hear you.
But I never felt like that was Pete all the time. He's hit some big home runs. However, this year, with all the pressure on him for his walk year and where the team is at, it's been bad from the start, and it's gotten worse as the pressure has gone up for the team. He is absolutely killing this team, and I am tired of watching him. BT and Sal on the Fan. Anthony's on Long Island. What's up, Ant?
Hey, boys. Always a pleasure. You know, I gotta love you guys, but I need to get this off my chest about this guy. This guy, right now in the playoffs, he is the worst cleanup hitter in the playoffs. That's my first point. I would take every other cleanup hitter in the playoffs right now over that bum, okay?
Well, he's not your cleanup hitter, though, anymore.
Okay, great. But he's supposed to be that guy, right?
Yeah,
true.
That's my first point. My second point, I would bench him. I wouldn't even let him leave the hotel tonight. I wouldn't even let him leave the hotel. You know what I would do? I would put Vientos at first. I'd put that kid at second base, Acuna, and I'd put Iglesias at third. And I guarantee you that kid Acuna could get hit. Could get a hit or even just fall into a hit over that bum. I don't even call him Peter anymore. I call him number 20 because he doesn't even deserve to get called by his name. He's a bum.
Yeah,
oh my goodness gracious.
Well, thank you, man.
Boy,
we appreciate
the tide has turned on Petey, huh?
Hoff, you've been a big Pete Alonso supporter. Where are you at with the face planter himself?
Well, I was going to say maybe we don't bench him, but maybe he's like the ninth hitter or something like that.
You got to do something.
They should drop him. More.
Here's a really good idea. Maybe we can, I mean, I'm referencing old movies, but go the Goonies route with the brother Bram where they play trick on him and then tie him to a chair so he can't leave the house. Maybe we do that. Like, the just Goonies. Lock it, like, get him stuck in a closet like Rookie of the Year or whatever it is.
I don't have the answer.
Is this where we're at, Hoff?
I don't.
I mean, maybe.
But and Hoff's been,
if they, Hoff doesn't have confidence, then nobody's got confidence in Pete.
So I went to him. He's been going MVP this, MVP that.
I'll tell you what. Now, they'll never do it. They and on most levels, they shouldn't do it. But what that, and I know that, you know, listen, maybe a little personal, a little disrespectful, whatever. But I don't know that his premise is totally off base. You can make the case that sitting Alonso tonight is the right baseball move. You actually could make that case.
Even I don't
he
know.
He can't
if
run. He's not hitting.
Even I don't know if I'm willing to go there.
They won't do it. You don't want to see Acuna out there? You don't want to see Iglesias, Acuna, and Vientos, that trio? I mean, again, they won't do it.
Well, here's
could make the case. It's the smart baseball
I know.
Move.
I know that. The problem
He's
is...
He's a mess.
I get it. The problem is it's a one-game elimination. You hold out the hope that just by luck somehow he runs into it. Now, maybe the time to sit him would have been a week ago or... You know, you're not going to sit him game one or game two last night, but maybe they should have sent him a message sooner to just, hey.
Yeah.
They've had the Mets' strength, one of their great strengths this year is they've held everybody else accountable. And yet with Pete, I know they've moved him down a little bit in the order, but there really hasn't been an alternate option that's going to let him feel like, hey, take a second here to catch your breath, but we need you to get going. And if you don't, you're going to be out of the lineup. Like, how could you... Yeah, he's killing them.
Yeah, and I watch him in the post-game press conferences. And, Hoff, do we have that sound where he spoke about this after the game, about potentially his last game? We do. Listen to this, and I want to react. Go ahead, Zoo.
Yeah, I really haven't thought of it because, I mean, the whole focus is just going going deep in the playoffs. I don't really want to think about that at all. I want to think about winning the game tomorrow.
All right, so this is not going to make Met fans feel better, but it's just an observation that I had. Because when somebody is mired in such a funk like that, I look, especially in baseball, where it can just destroy you. Like, there's no more lonely feeling being 1-for-30. Like, there's nowhere to hide. You know, you're in a box 60 feet, 6 inches away, and it's you, and that's it, and you look bad. I watch him, like, when he grounds out, when he pops out, when he strikes out, when he face plants, and his body language is still, like, what he's emitting is still fairly positive. And I respect that. Because he must be inwardly destroyed.
But that's the problem. See, I think with Pete...
You think you'd rather see him smash your helmet and just get it out of the way and let's go?
I'd rather see him acknowledge for once this disappointing year. All we've heard from Pete and all we've seen is he's trying to fight through it outwardly in a positive way. Not thinking about free agency. I've had an all-star season. My at-bats are good. My swings are good. For once, Pete, look in the mirror and say, you know what? You got to be honest with yourself. I right now am sucking. I shouldn't have been an all-star. I haven't had the type of year that I hold myself to. I need to be more impactful. I'm hurting the ball club. And yes, it sucks not knowing where I'm going to be playing next year because I love it here and want to be a Met for life. But I'm going to do whatever I can tonight to make sure we continue playing. He's ignoring it. He's trying to sweep it under the rug. He has been all year. And I think it's hurting him because the more you sweep it under the rug, the more it builds and builds and builds. He's pretending it's not there. It is there. Acknowledge it. And then everything else should be easier from there. That's, to me, the biggest
issue. Okay, you know, honestly, that's not a bad way to look at it. I mean, that's probably what I would do. I would just explode on a bat rack. And he did break the bat over his knee a couple of weeks. Remember that? He did show that emotion. I almost think that his patience has been, you know, one of his great characteristics over time. And I don't know, maybe if you deviate it now abruptly, maybe it does rattle you to the core and you actually start playing well again. It could actually get worse. He could start taking this into the field. Like, I don't know if he
steps... He's been good defensively.
He's been very good defensively. If he steps out of character and he starts doing things that would probably make you feel better and us watching him...
But don't you think...
Maybe it gets worse, dude.
Do you think he thinks he's having a good year?
If he's honest with himself... Again, not what he tells,
us. What I'm saying.
There is no way that when he gets in his car... And he drives to City, or he gets on the team bus today, he is happy with the way he's playing. Zero chance.
You could see the frustration on his face. He wants it so bad that it kills him. But yet he's not acknowledging that. Maybe to himself he is somewhere along. Do you think he's not thinking about that this could be his last year with the Mets?
I absolutely think that he is.
Of course he is. He's a human.
But what good does it do to say that? Does it do any good? You think it frees him up?
Yes.
I think it might burden him more. I don't know that, but.
If you hold on to those things sometimes, it's better to just get it out.
Get it out, a little cathartic.
Yeah.
Get on your knees and start begging. Get to the baseball gods, right? Start firing up the rum and Joe Boo.
Maybe
do whatever you got to do.
Up your butt, Joe Boo. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. Special announcement as
well. He's been awful, man. I can't get over how bad he's been.
It's just
he has been bad.
Enough's enough. We have a little special announcement coming up with a giveaway.
Do.
We'll do that when we come back.
Stuff.
One more grievance before we get back to the calls from last night.
We are airing them out today, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I have to. Well, I was starting to yell at my wife last night. She's like, what's wrong with you?
Did she watch with you or no?
She's been watching the playoffs.
She's in?
Yeah.
All right.
I walked in last night. I was shocked. I walked in. The game was on. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, how'd you do this? I didn't even know you knew that like ESPN existed.
Well, I mean,
actually, what
they
happened
keep
was
doing those interviews during the game. They won't.
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
Much longer.
But actually, I walked in and ESPN was. She goes, oh, it didn't start yet. I go, yes, it did start, but it was ESPN. She was, and the other game was on, so we had to put the ESPN too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's what I was going to actually air
go
out
ahead,
right
take
now.
Take it up.
It's the ninth inning. Now, I want to be careful just in case my future paths may cross with ESPN.
Yeah, well,
you know, they
I'll
pay pretty
you,
well.
They forget that stuff.
TV, yeah. But, okay.
I used to work there. They don't really care.
You know, First Take, LaRusso is getting, you know, one day you never know. But what is ESPN doing, BT, in the ninth inning of a playoff game doing an in-dugout live interview? Nobody gives a crap. Show us the game. You missed a pitch. That is unacceptably bad.
Sal, that's embarrassing. It really is. This has been going on for a while, and they're not the only ones culpable. This started with these stupid, mindless you know, run it off the field at halftime. So, Coach Cameron, what do you have to do in the second half? I don't know, play better, keep it moving. Like, it's just, you don't get anything. Popovich made a joke out of this, and it's really, it's a waste of time. Now, if they time it out better, it doesn't bother me to the point where I'm going to start railing on it, but when they don't time it out perfectly, and last night was anything but perfect, it's just inexcusable. It's a playoff game. You got to find better. You got to find a better time to weave that in. Like, that's a bad job.
Doing it is bad enough, but you're right. If it didn't interrupt watching the ninth inning, then I wouldn't have even brought it up. Like, who cares? All right, I'm not listening to the interview. I don't care what he has to say in game. By the way, they had him on, or were trying to get him on. They had technical difficulties with Scott Van Pelt right after that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So you just had him on in the game. Like, save it 5 minutes, and you'll get to Van Pelt with it. That's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And then we can choose as viewers if we want to hear the interview or go watch elsewhere. But for the game, you can't be shoving that down our throats. No, we want to watch the game.
You know what I find more interesting? I like the sounds of the game, or like the strategy. Now, you probably have to can this. Like, you can record something. You don't even have to lie to us. Just tell us, hey, moments ago we heard this. Like, if it's dugout banter, or if it's a conversation on the mound, or, you know, say a conversation in the batter's box where hitter X and hitter Y are, I don't know, talking about pitch patterns from the guy that they're getting ready to hit against. Like, that stuff is interesting. When you lift up the curtain and you get a little strategic look, I love that stuff. But that was almost all-time bad, dude. Imagine if he goes yard and you miss it.
Oh, my God.
Or rips a double to the gap.
Bad enough that I didn't get a chance to watch what was going on. That was so bad.
Yep.
I will say that they did acknowledge. Did you see that they acknowledged the wall?
Yes,
field.
Oh, they did. Yeah, right.
Somebody
away.
Gave him the memo there. So, I mean, I'm sure a day late and a dollar short again, but early, at least they acknowledge it. Yeah. Where Frelick got hurt, they were showing that they patched that up. All right, John is in Provinceville, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. To me, that game ended quite simply for the Mets in the sixth inning. I never felt comfortable with just three ones, but when Martinez and Marte get on base, I know you had a caller bring this up before. I didn't think of Mendoza pinch running for Martinez, but that would have made some sense too. But can Tyrone Taylor and Francisco Alvarez both not swing at the first pitch? You have a relief pitcher in the game. You have him now. Maybe if you let the bat at bat breathe, if you let some things develop in each at bat, you're putting pressure back on the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You went from first and second, nobody out, to two pitches later, guy on first and second, two out. Totally killed any momentum that inning maybe had, on top of the fact behind Alvarez is Lindor. So Taylor thinks, you know, Taylor usually gives us good at bats. I can't kill him too much.
That's exactly right.
Alvarez is always swinging at the first
pitch. He's a free swinger. Yeah.
I mean, did you think live time, BT, real time to bunt there?
No.
Me neither. I'm not.
I did not.
I'm sorry. Tyrone Taylor's been one of their most clutch players. Guy's a ball player. Hey, he's not going to get it done every single time. What do you want him to do? But you're setting the stage there. I was comfortable with Taylor. He didn't get the job done. Alvarez comes up, and I'm thinking one thing. Hey, mesh one here. Let's go. At some point, he's going to run into one, you would think. He didn't get it done. And even with Iglesias coming up after they intentionally walked Lindor, like, I was not thinking bunt. I'll be honest. I was not thinking bunt or pinch run at that point.
You know, there's also a different school of thought here. I've long ago given up, even though fundamentally I agree with the old school way, but it is what it is. So I guess I can't fight City Hall, where I when a pitcher's on the ropes, I like taking a strike.
Yeah.
I do, but sometimes you're also not going to get a better pitch than the one that you let go down Broadway. And if you let it rip, you know, if you swing at it, I mean, how many times have guys swung at pitches in counts where we thought they should have taken, where they delivered a clutch hit, and we don't acknowledge the fact that they swung when they probably shouldn't have? What we do instead is rail when they swing and they shouldn't, and they make out. So I think if you actually were to grade it all out, it's probably somewhere in between, but that's changed. I mean, the days of just taking strikes are over. It doesn't happen anymore.
JR is in South Jersey. What's up, JR?
Hey, good morning, BT. Ciao. Good morning, Buongiorno. Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
So look, as a Mets fan, look, I believe that, you know what? Hey, and BT, you got to have Hob play that song by the Allman Brothers, Whipping Post. Okay? Because remember the lyrics to that song. Greg Allman says, I'm tied to the whipping post. Good Lord, I feel like I'm dying. Sal, we love you to death. And I watch you religiously on SNY every day. And I listen to you every day, faithfully. I'm 69 years old. I lived through 9/11, and here I am. I'm a diehard Mets fan. All that yelling, all that screaming is not going to help. And if you scream inside the house, go in the garage or take a walk outside before you scream with the kids and the wife inside the house.
Yeah.
And look, I just want to, I'm trying to find got a bad sense of humor, and God's helping me to improve. But look, there's positive energy in this world. So look, today, at some point in time, I want you to stop whipping Mendoza and everyone in that lineup last night. And yeah, we could have won, but we didn't win. And all the yelling is not going to help us. I want you to actually pray for the Mets that we win tonight. Pray to God through Jesus Christ that we win
tonight.
Well,
I don't know about that, JR. Thank you for the call. I mean, maybe pray to the sports gods. If you are going to take the time to pray, I would hope that it's for something more important than a result of a sports game. And yeah, yelling and screaming. Look, I'm getting out of frustrations as a sports fan watching last night. The beauty about sports, BT, is that it's not real life. Like, I know we take this stuff seriously. You and I made it our career. So obviously we take it seriously. I know that sports fans listening take it seriously. But you also understand that in the grand scheme of things,
of course,
it's not the end of the world. And I was not yelling and screaming last night. I did, for a moment, want to throw my phone, but I didn't throw my phone. Not that that's above me, because I have in the past, but last night was not that. It was just frustrating. As a sports fan, you're frustrated. That's why you call and vent your frustrations. That's why I'm here yelling about my frustrations. It happens. Now, eventually, we will move on and be positive about tonight, or at least try to be positive and hopeful about tonight. I'm not going to pray myself. That's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you do what you got to do, and hopefully the Mets can get a win and move on.
I mean, yelling doesn't necessarily help, but it doesn't hurt.
It also feels good.
It feels a little cathartic. And you know what? Some of those mistakes they made last night, they deserve some yelling.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.